light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. Coming and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation. You did not despise the cross, for even in your suffering you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation. Jesus, for our sake you died. That stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who come to the Father are restored. And the Church of Christ was born, and the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel true revolt shall not kneel, shall not faint. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me.
Good morning. Let me invite you to open your Bibles with me this morning to the Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Mark in the very first chapter. And just by way of introduction for our message this morning, let's read together from Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Now after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Let's pray together. Father, I pray, first of all, that you would calm and settle my heart and help me, Lord, to hear you clearly, to share a message with our church family today that will encourage them in their spiritual journey. I pray that you would give every one of us eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit would say to the church today. And I pray that you strengthen our faith and our resolve to live for your glory. Help us today, Father, to focus our minds and our attention on heavenly things, the things that are above, not the things of this world. And teach us, Father, how to live out of heavenly realms, to transform this natural world in which we live. Teach us how to do that, Father, I pray today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So our message is on the kingdom of God. Last week I shared an awful lot of verses of scripture with you. I do that because I want you to see that what I'm sharing with you comes from the Bible and not just from my own understanding in my own head. But sometimes I realize I overwhelm you with the number of scriptures that I give you. Let me just share this with you. Out of all of those scriptures that we shared with you last week, I was basically making 2 points. Let me make those 2 points very quickly for you today, okay? And very, very simply. 2 points that we were making out of all of those verses of scripture that we shared last week. And they are simply this. The first one is that the gospel of the kingdom, the message of the gospel of the kingdom of God is the foundational message of Jesus Christ and all of the church. Okay? The good news, the word gospel means good news. The kingdom of God is the rule of God. The good news of the rule of God is the message, the foundational message that Jesus and all of the apostles taught. And I shared a number of scriptures with you. We looked at Jesus. I shared from Matthew, the beginning of Matthew, middle of Matthew, end of Matthew, places where Jesus was constantly teaching about the kingdom of God. Also in the book of Acts, after his resurrection, we read there that Jesus was still teaching about the kingdom of God. When Jesus sent out the disciples in Luke chapter 9, he sent out the 12 disciples and he said, go and preach and preach the kingdom of God and heal those that are sick. In the very next chapter, he sends out 70 other people and he says, go and heal and tell them that the kingdom of God has come among them. And so we get into the book of Acts itself, and in the 8th chapter we see Philip, one of the deacons who was a preacher, and he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Throughout Acts we see the apostle Paul preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. This is the foundational message of the church. The good news, this is right along with the devotion at Stuart Brook, the good news is that God has come to rule and reign in our lives again. So you need to understand that from the time of the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, the Bible says that the devil was the ruler of this world, the prince of the power of the air, okay? And Jesus came back to reclaim that position of authority for mankind, primarily, in the earth. But he comes announcing the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. He's saying the kingdom of God is just about to break forth in your midst. The rule of God is coming back to break forth in your midst so that you no longer have to be controlled by the world, the flesh, the devil, selfishness, sinfulness, all of these kinds of things. God has come to rule over your life so that you can be free from all of that other stuff that brings destruction and death and chaos and pain into your life. And so the first point was simply the message of the gospel of the kingdom was the primary message that Jesus and all of the apostles and disciples taught. It was the foundation of everything. The second message was that the kingdom of God, the concept of the kingdom of God, is something that is a present reality. And the reason I needed to make that point is that because so many people in our day and time, particularly in conservative and evangelical churches, when they hear the phrase kingdom of God, they typically think the second coming of Jesus. And don't misunderstand. I believe Jesus is coming again. Okay? And when he comes, brother and sister, he will rule the world and he'll rule the world forever. Plain and simple. But the good news that Jesus taught was that the kingdom of God was already at hand in his day 2,000 years ago. The kingdom was coming, and it came in the person of the king. And when Jesus died on the cross and he bore our sins, he rose to heaven, he poured out the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God was now working in the earth already from the realm of the Spirit, working to change the hearts of men, and even as God wills, change the circumstances of people's lives. And that's why when you see, and I made this point when we read these verses last time, whenever you see Jesus talking about, it talks about Jesus started by saying, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe the gospel. And right after that, you see he begins to do miracles. When he sent the 12 out, when he sent the 70 out, he said, go preach the gospel of the kingdom and heal those that are sick. And what I want you to see from this is that those things are not disconnected from one another. It was the gospel message, it was the message of the gospel of the kingdom of God that brought forth the power of God into the earth to bring healing to people's bodies, deliverance for their mind and soul, salvation for their spirit, you see. It's the power of the gospel that brings these things into the world, and he brings these things into the world today. The gospel of the kingdom is a present day message. And again, here's why that's important. As we're going to be seeing over the next couple of weeks, there are promises, there are privileges, there are blessings that we can experience in this lifetime because the kingdom of God is already here. Okay? Now, if we put the kingdom of God off until the end of the age, whenever that might be, and it could be tomorrow, and it could be 1,000 years from now, we don't know. But if we put off the gospel of the kingdom thinking it's some other time, then we can put off and miss the blessings that God has for us today because of the present reality of the kingdom of God. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, and those words are interchangeable, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's at hand. It is a present reality, Jesus was saying to the people of his day. I know in my own spiritual journey, when I got saved around 20 years of age, and I still had the concept in my mind, I still had the concept of, you know, I'm here, I'm on the earth, and God is out there somewhere in heaven, and the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, it's all out there somewhere, it's in the future. But there was a disconnect in my mind to the idea of the kingdom of heaven being at hand, being here presently. I saw it as out there future, and I didn't really understand that because God is a present reality, he wants to make himself known in my life today. He wants to do certain things in my life. And listen, brother and sister, God can do anything. That's why we call him God. He can do anything. And I think too often we live our lives with our eyes and our minds on the things of this world and the problems that we deal with in this world, that we often tend to forget that God really is right here with us right now and able to do exceeding abundantly far beyond anything we can ask or think. And so we have very little faith for God to do something in the now because we see Him more as something that we'll deal with in the future. Oh, I knew I was going to heaven after I got saved, genuinely saved at the age of 20 years old. I knew I was going to heaven when I died, but I didn't understand. Listen, in the concept, if we properly understand the concept of the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, what the Bible is telling us is that God, listen, God is bringing the kingdom of heaven to us now. God is bringing heaven to us in the here and now so that we don't have to wait till we die to experience a little bit of heaven. He's given us the Holy Spirit as a foretaste, as a down payment, as it were, on heaven and all of its blessings and all of its joy and all of the things that God can provide for us. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is a present reality in the realm of the Spirit, not just something we're waiting for in the future. The kingdom of God is the rule and reign of God as God reigns in this earth today. But He reigns in a realm that we can't see, and so we often don't think about Him, and we often forget of what He's capable of doing. But brothers and sisters, the message that I'm sharing with you and the hope that I'm giving, that we're trying to give you here, is that the kingdom of heaven is with us. Now, how many of you guys understand today, heaven is not as far away as you think it is. Heaven is not as far away as you think it is. Heaven is just beyond the realm of sight. And heaven is here. It is with us now. And when we read about the miracles of Jesus and the Gospels, we're actually, what you're seeing is glimpses of glory, if I can put it that way. Tidbits of heaven being passed out to people as He ministered to them. He would teach them about the kingdom of heaven, and then He would show them what heaven is like by healing them, or by delivering them, or by raising them from the dead, or by saving them. And He would demonstrate the power of the kingdom of God in people's lives today. And brother and sister, God still wants to do that today. That's what the gifts of the Spirit are all about. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we may have to do a study on them before very much longer. But the gifts of the Spirit, words of wisdom and knowledge and prophecy, faith and miracles and healings, and all of these kinds of things. These are ways of God revealing what heaven is like and bringing heaven into the natural realm. God wants heaven, listen, heaven, how can I say this? You and I should be having heavenly encounters as we walk with God in the Spirit. There were times in the Bible when people actually saw heaven. You read about it particularly in the Gospels, the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember that story? Peter, James, and John, they go up on the mountain with Jesus to pray. And while they are there, God lifts the veil, if you will, and those men were able to peer into glory, peer into heaven, and saw Jesus in all of His glory as He appears in heaven. The apostle Paul was taken up into third heavens, he said, and saw visions that his mind couldn't grasp and he couldn't put into words. He saw heaven. The apostle John wrote a book about it. We call it the book of the Revelation. And he saw what heaven was like. He tries his best to describe heaven in earthly terms. But how many of you know you can't do that? He gives it a shot. And he uses the most glorious and awesome things that he can imagine to try to describe heaven. But you'll never put heaven in earthly terms. It won't happen. But these people saw heaven. And God wants us to be having heavenly encounters. He wants us to see heavenly encounters. And maybe for a minute we need to talk just a minute about the spirit realm. we haven't really focused on that very much, but what we're talking about is an encounter of the spiritual realm with the natural realm, and the power of the spiritual realm changing the things of the natural realm. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about the coming of the kingdom of God. When the rule of God comes, when the rule of God is manifest, the things in the natural world will change to reflect the way things are in the spiritual world in heaven. It's why Jesus tells us to pray this. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, he says, pray this way. Your kingdom come. Period. Watch this. He's not talking about praying for the second coming. What would be the point of first century people praying for the second coming of Jesus, which hasn't even happened yet 2,000 years later? They're not praying about the second coming. They're praying about the manifestation of the rule of God in the earth. Your kingdom come. But watch the next lines. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here's what I'm saying to you, brother and sister. When the kingdom of God comes into our lives and it manifests itself in our lives, God's will be done in us just like it is today being done in heaven. He sends the kingdom to make heaven on earth. We're spiritual people. We live in a spiritual realm, whether we realize it or not. Again, most of the time for most of us in life, out of sight, out of mind. Most of us probably by now are not thinking all that often of the suffering going on in North Carolina, Tennessee, Georgia, and places like that. Why? Out of sight, out of mind. We got ours, you know. And if it's not put in front of our face constantly, we have a tendency to forget about things. The same is true of the kingdom of heaven. The same is true of the spiritual realm. We live our lives so entangled in this natural world with our mindset so focused on the things of this world that we often forget about the spiritual realm. But brother and sister, everything in this natural world, everything in this natural world came from the spiritual world. God, who is spirit, Jesus said so. God is a spirit. And God, who is a spirit, spoke words that are spiritual in nature. And from the spirit realm came everything your eye can see today. Everything about this natural realm that you and I contact with every day with all of our senses, it all came from the spirit realm. And the spirit realm, brother and sister, listen. Again, we tend to think, when we use the phrase, well, we're talking about spiritual things. I think sometimes we think, well, that maybe that's kind of like mythology. Or maybe not even really real. Brother and sister, I want you to understand today the spiritual realm is the ultimate of reality. It is not only the ultimate of reality, the spirit realm and the kingdom of God is superior to the realm and the world in which we live today in every way. In every way it is superior. And God wants to manifest the power of that spiritual realm in our hearts and in our lives and even in our circumstances as He wills. Look at, let's go ahead and look at a verse of scripture here. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Again, just simply making one more point. The spirit realm is real. Okay? That's the whole point. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And verse 23. Brothers and sisters, there is more to life than what you see around you. There is more to life than what you can contact with all five of your physical senses. There is more to life. There is another realm. There's another realm out there that you can't see with the naked eye, but it is there, and it is just as real, even more real. The ultimate reality is in the realm of the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, as the Apostle Paul closes this letter to the Thessalonian church, he makes this statement. He says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely." Now watch this. "And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Notice he tells us in that verse of scripture that you and I as human beings are actually triune beings. There's more to life than the world that you see. There's more to you than the rest of us can see. You are a triune being. There's more to you than just the body that you live in. You are a spirit. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 that we are made in the likeness and image of God. God is a spirit. If we're made in the likeness and image of God who is a spirit, then we too are spiritual beings. And we are spiritual beings, and we have a soul, and that's generally thought of as the mind and the will and the emotions. And all of that dwells on the inside of these physical bodies. But you understand, it's the spirit of man that's the eternal part of man, right? I mean, you do get it that these bodies are not eternal, right? Some of us do. Some of you younger people, and I know you think you're immortal. You think you're never going to die. You think it's going to... You just wait. Reality will soon come. And the older I get, the more that I realize. The Bible tells us that these bodies are decaying. I used that on a prayer call the other day and offended people. Our bodies are decaying. They're dying. They're passing away. Our flesh is corruptible. It's rotting. And it's passing away. And we have a spirit that's on the inside that's eternal, and a body on the outside that's just getting older. Paul even said this. He said, the outer man perishes, but the inner man is renewed day by day. The inner man never gets older. The outer man does. That's another great mystery, isn't it? I guarantee, let me talk to you college kids for just a second. I guarantee you, and you don't realize it now, the time will come. When you get to be my age, on the outside, you're 70 years old. But on the inside, you still think you're 25. You wait. You just wait. You'll get there. There's a meme on Facebook I saw. Probably shouldn't use the language that was in that meme, but it says something about on the inside of every old person is a younger person wondering what the heck happened. It's true. The inner man is eternal. The inner man is eternal. He's a spirit being. And he's eternal, though the outer man perishes. So the spiritual realm is real. And the spirit realm and the natural realm, there's places where these two realms actually overlap. In your life, for example, again, you're a spirit man, but you're also a physical being. So there's overlap. You and I, think of it this way. You and I have dual citizenship. If you're born again, you're a citizen. I'm assuming most of you are born in the United States. We have citizenship here in the United States. But the Bible tells us if we're born again, we also have citizenship in the kingdom of God. Paul says in Philippians 3 and verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly await our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have dual citizenship. We're citizens of the earth, we're citizens of the United States, but we're also citizens of the kingdom of heaven, and we will live with God forever in that realm. And there are times, and this is the basis of the whole message, this whole series of what I'm trying to get across to you. We learned many years ago that God isn't way off and waiting for us to get there. But God really is right here, right now, walking among us and desiring to manifest Himself in all kinds of ways in our lives in the here and now. God wants, He wants that spiritual power that's of that spiritual kingdom. He wants to manifest that power in this natural world. Again, the miracles of Jesus are all manifestations of the power of the kingdom of God. It's the spirit realm influencing the natural realm. The two having an encounter and the power of the spirit transforming that which is in the natural. Bodies getting healed, and people being delivered, people even being raised from the dead. And God wants us to see that. There's a story, I don't have time to, well, I will talk a little bit. Look over at 2 Kings real quick. There's an Old Testament example in 2 Kings chapter 6, and we'll look at just the first part of it this morning. There's an Old Testament example of God intervening, of the Spirit encountering the natural in order to transform. It's in 2 Kings chapter 6, and I'll pick up in verse 8. It says in verse 8, it says, "Now the king of Aram," and your translation may use the word Syria. It's basically the region to the north and to the east of Israel. But it's a kingdom that was constantly warring with Israel, okay? So this is what we're talking about. The king of Aram was warring against Israel, and he counseled with his servants, saying, "In such and such a place shall be my camp." The man of God, and this happens to be the prophet Elisha in the nation of Israel, the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Arameans or the Syrians are coming down there." The king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God had told him, and thus he warned him, so that he guarded himself there more than once or twice. Verse 11, "Now the heart of the king of Aram was enraged over this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, 'Will you tell me which one of us is for the king of Israel?' One of his servants says, 'No, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom.'" Now let me just share real quickly what's happening in that passage of scripture. King of Aram wants to attack Israel, okay? So he meets together secretly with his cabinet, and they form their plans, how they're going to attack Israel, where they're going to attack, what they're going to do. They do all of this in secret, just like any military leader would. They make their plans to attack the nation of Israel. Only this happens. God is aware of what the king of Syria, the king of Aram, wants to do. And because he's aware, for the protection of the nation of Israel, God speaks to the prophet in Israel and tells the prophet what the king of Syria is up to. In the New Testament, it would be referred to as a word of knowledge, a spiritual gift from God, a word that the prophet Elijah would have no other way of knowing but that God intervened and spoke that word to him. It enrages the king of Syria, the king of Aram. He thinks he's got a snitch in his cabinet. He thinks he's got a spy in his cabinet. Which one of you people are telling the king of Israel what I'm up to? And one of his counselors said, it's not us. king. It's not us. But there's a prophet in Israel. And everything you say in secret in your cabinet room, God whispers it to the prophet, and the prophet makes it public to the nation of Israel. God is intervening. You see, God is stepping in. God is intervening. God is doing something for the nation of Israel in order to protect that nation from the attack of the Assyrians. God still does these kinds of things today. We see the word of knowledge in the ministry of Jesus. You may be familiar with the passage of Scripture in John chapter 4, where Jesus is at the well of Samaria, and he meets a woman at the well there, and he's talking with her, and he's eventually going to reveal himself to her. And at one point in the conversation, he says to this woman, he says, why don't you go get your husband and bring him out and make him a part of the conversation. And the woman says, I don't have a husband. Jesus said this, watch this. Jesus said, you are right to say that you don't have a husband. Because in fact, you've had five husbands. And the man that you're living with now is not your husband. How did Jesus know that? He had never met the woman before. He had never talked to the woman before. Had no idea of anything about the woman. But the Holy Spirit intervened and told Jesus something about this woman that got this woman's attention, so that by the end of the story, she has accepted Jesus as her Savior. And that's the point. That's the reason for the intervention. That's the reason for the Holy Spirit making this knowledge available to Jesus, so that this woman could finally come into the kingdom of God. The spiritual, the supernatural, the spiritual encounters the natural, and the natural is changed. Let me share one experience out of my own experiences from years ago. One of the most remarkable encounters in that line that I have ever had in my life. It blew me away. Becky and I were meeting with a young lady, and she had had a checkered background, some problems. She was married to a person who was an acquaintance of ours, and we're counseling with her because her and her new husband are now having marriage problems again. We had her come to our home. We sat down and talked with her. Now, you know, we could have talked and counseled for many hours before we reached a place of relationship with her where she was comfortable really sharing the deep things of her heart and life. And I understand that. That's the way counseling goes. That's why most counseling goes for week after week after week after week, building a relationship to share truth, to minister healing. But listen, as we're talking with this young lady about her life, and she shared some things that have been going on in her life, and she shared about one particular gentleman that had helped her with some things over the course of her journey. When she made mention of this gentleman that had helped her at one point, the only way I can describe it is just an impression and a word that just popped into my mind. I now believe now it was the Holy Spirit. And this word came to my mind, the word abortion. We hadn't come anywhere near any of that at this point. She's just talking about her journey. And when that word popped into my mind, I looked at her and I said, This gentleman that you said had helped you, I said, you had a physical relationship with him, didn't you? She got real quiet. She just nodded her head, yeah. I said, you got pregnant, didn't you? Her head dropped. She nodded her head. And then I said, "You had an abortion, didn't you?" And she just began to weep. And she nodded her head. Yeah. The Spirit intervened in the natural to reveal something about this woman that was at least partly to do with the hurting of her life. Not so that she could be judged, not so that she could be condemned, but so she could be loved, and so she could be healed. Yes. And I'm telling you, brother and sister, the kingdom of God wants to intervene in our lives, in our lives personally, to minister to the things of our own heart, to minister through us in spiritual gifts. But the kingdom of God is real. The kingdom of God is now. The kingdom of God is full of power. And God wants to manifest that power in our lives for our good and for His glory. And I've got to stop right there, and we'll pick up there next week. Father, thank You for the spiritual power that is available to us through the kingdom of God today. Thank You, Father, for the encounters that You give us with spiritual realm things. Thank You for the Holy Spirit who lives within us to manifest the power of Your kingdom in the here and now. Thank You, Father, for loving us so much that You have come to be with us today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.